explored quite a few different themes under the topic of the Father's will. And this one is about getting the blessing. Do you know it's God's will that you be blessed, that you be encouraged, that you be healed, that you be delivered? Amen. And we're going to look at how we can go about making sure that we stay under the blessing. Hallelujah. Amen. It's good to see Sister Stephanie. Amen. I'm so glad to see her. I know, you know, amen. As we get up in years, sometimes the devil wants to take away our physical strength. But as the scripture says, even though the inner man is perishing, the outer man is perishing, the inner man is renewed day by day. Amen. Well, our first week, we talked about who is in control and about the loss of dominion. And then we talked about the transformed mind, how we can get our mind thinking in better ways. Because, you know, wherever your mind is thinking, that's how your day is going to go. You know, do you know that? It's like wherever you're looking is where your body's going to go. Wherever your mind is looking, that's where your attitude is going to go. And so we have to get our minds transformed. And although it seems impossible, the Bible says that it is possible. It says taking every thought captive into obedience. But it is only through submission to the word, and it's a daily thing. It's not a one-time, you know, thing. It's a daily submission to God's will. Then we talked about the easy way of obeying God, which is just through love, right? Through love. If you love someone, it's easy. Amen? When you're in love, you don't know how you spend so much time talking about what. You know, talking about what were you talking about for those hours? What did you have to talk about? But somehow, when you're in love, it's easy. And the easiest way to be obedient to God is through love. And how do we love God? Well, it's through understanding what he has done for us. Because love is, most of all, shown as an action. Amen. We were talking yesterday about the five love languages. And those of you who are familiar with that, you know, that we communicate love, each of us, in different ways. And I think God communicates love in all five ways, but definitely through an act of service. Because the Bible said God so loved that he gave his only begotten Son. I don't think we really can appreciate it totally until we get to heaven, how much God has done for us and what he has sacrificed. And then last week we talked about the perfect will and understanding that God has a perfect will for our lives. But it only is fulfilled through submission. And this week we're going to talk about the blessing, because it's also God's will for us to be blessed. Amen. God wants us to be blessed. All of you who are parents, you want your children to be blessed. Amen. You want the best for them. And God wants the very best for us. But like your children, sometimes we are so stubborn. We think our plan is better, and we will not submit, and so we struggle. But today we're going to examine about the blessing of the Father. Anyone can think of someone in Scripture who got the blessing of the Father? That's an easy one. Jacob. Now, he did it through deception. He did it through deception. He did not deserve the blessing, did he? He did not deserve the blessing. But how did he get the blessing? Because actually, God set up a little analogy there for us. Even though Jacob did not deserve the blessing, he got the blessing. But what enabled him to get the blessing? Obedience. Obedience to who? To his mother. And what did she tell him to do? That's right. It was through a blood sacrifice that he got the blessing. He didn't deserve it, but an innocent animal died to provide the covering so that he could come before the Father. Do you understand? We don't deserve God's blessing. None of us. We don't deserve it. But because an innocent person died, we have the right to come before the Father. And although he didn't deserve it, he got the blessing. And it wasn't monetary. He didn't leave with wealth and gold. In fact, he left Father's house with just himself running away. But he got the most important thing he could have from Isaac, which was the Father's blessing. The Bible says something, some really profound things sometimes that you'd think, you know, don't make sense. But Paul says in Romans that the gifts and calling of God are what? Without repentance. Isn't that strange? Isn't that not according to our human thinking? But you see, when you give a gift, it shouldn't be conditioned on the other person. It's a gift. So God gives us gifts. Now, whether that gift brings fruition, whether that gift gets to its full potential, does depend upon us. Does depend upon us. So we're going to look at the blessings of the Father today and look at how we can make sure that we are in the blessing stream. As I've said so many times, a miracle is essentially breaking what? God's law. When you ask for a miracle, you're asking for something that is contrary to nature. That's what a miracle is. And we all need miracles. I need miracles. I need a miracle. Right? We all need miracles. But you know, God set up his laws so that we could operate without them. If we stayed in the blessing. If we operated under blessing, we would not get sick. We would not have financial issues. We would, if we really were obedient all the time to God's word, and we would not need miracles because we would be in the blessing. Amen. Now, God is merciful and he gives us miracles. He does break his own law to give us a miracle. Amen. And I'm grateful for that. I am grateful for God's miracles. I'm not knocking miracles. But there is a better way. There is a better way. Just as Paul said, but I show you a better way. And that is under God's blessing. Amen. Let's look at this a little bit more. Luke 11:27. And it came to pass as he spake these things, a certain woman of the company lifted up her voice and said unto him, blessed is the womb that bare thee and the paps which thou hast sucked. But he said, yea, rather, blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. That is how we will get the Father's blessing. There's nothing more pleasing for a parent than your children doing something that you want them to do. It'll bring a smile to your face, right? You ask them to do something, they actually did it without argument and, you know. Someone asked me today, did I ever feel to just kill my children? I said, well, not recently. Amen. No, I haven't ever really felt to kill them, but you know, you understand. But you know, whenever we disobey, that's how we are to God. We're not pleasing in his sight. But he said, yea, rather, blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. Well, let's look at this. What did God promise the children of Israel? As they came up to Canaan, a little bit before Moses died, he laid out two choices, blessings and curses for them. And I really want to take time to read this. Because God's promises to individuals are conditional. God's promises to nations sometimes are unconditional. But most of his promises to us as individuals are conditioned on our responding. Our choice. That's what it means to have dominion. So I want to take time and read this. This is what, in the NIV version, Moses was telling the children of Israel. If you fully, fully obey the Lord your God and carefully follow all his commands, I give you today, the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations on earth. All these blessings will come on you and accompany you if you obey the Lord your God. You will be blessed in the city. This is where the song comes from. And blessed in the country. The fruit of your womb will be blessed. And the crops of your land will be blessed. Sorry, the womb will be blessed. The crops of your land and the young of your livestock. The calves of your herds and the lambs of your flocks. Your basket and your kneading trough will be blessed. You will be blessed when you come in, blessed when you go out. The Lord will grant that the enemies who rise against you will be defeated before you. They will come at you from one direction, but flee from you in seven. Isn't that awesome? That's what the Father's will is for us today, truly. But can you see it's conditional? It says, if you fully obey. Whenever I've fully obeyed, God has always blessed me. He's always worked it out for me. He's done miracles for me that, you know, I haven't heard him do for other people. Remember one time I had failed an exam. I've told you this one before. And I thought it was, I failed it twice. Twice. That should be it. And God did a miracle for me. The dean of the school called me and said, we're going to have you take the exam again. Just you, by yourself. That they had never, ever done that before. If I hadn't gotten that exam, I could not go forward. But God is so merciful and gracious. They had the exam just for me. The whole college had an exam just for me. Think about that. When I look back on my life and what God has done, I have no excuse, none. None whatsoever. But these blessings are conditional. If you fully obey the Lord your God and carefully follow all his commands I give you today, the Lord God will set you high above all the nations. This is God's promise to Israel. Hallelujah. All these blessings will come. You won't be able to get away from blessing. It's like that cartoon. Maybe many of you don't know it, but there was a cartoon strip many years ago called Richie Rich. I think that was it. And you older people will know about this. And he had millions of dollars, right? Well, he had some money, but he could get even more. But he had to get rid of the $1 million he had. And the trouble was, he couldn't get rid of it. No matter what he did, try to give it away, it would come back in some other form. He couldn't get rid of the money, so he couldn't inherit the bigger money that he really wanted. I'm telling you, this is how God would like to work in our lives. But we sometimes try and hold on to the blessing instead of doing like Richie Rich and trying to give it so that God can pour in more. This is the key. Your basket and your kneading trough will be blessed. That means your food, your income, your table. You will be blessed when you come in and blessed when you go out. The Lord will grant that the enemies who rise up against you will be defeated before you. That's why I have developed a certain philosophy when I'm working with people, you know, because I've developed this theory that you can't have a bigger group than 11 without one person. When you go to 12, one of the 11 is going to be a jerk. Because even Jesus could not avoid that, right? He chose 12 people. One of them was a devil. So I've developed this theory that when you get a group bigger than that, someone in that group is going to be crossways to your personality. But you don't have to fret about that, you know. You just have to relax, because listen what the Bible says. The Lord will grant that the enemies who rise up against you will be defeated before you. They will come at you from one direction, but flee from you in seven. I've seen that so many times in the 40 years I've been working, where people have come against me. I don't try and fight them. I smile. I give them as much rope as they want. I don't even try and resist them. Because I'm not fighting any battles. It's the Lord. It's just like when in Joshua 5, when he met the commander of the Lord's host. We don't have to take revenge. Did you know that? It's the Lord's battle. The Lord will grant that the enemies who rise up against you will be defeated before they will come at you from one direction, but flee from you in seven. Let's go on, because this is so much. The Lord will send a blessing on your barns and on everything. Let's say everything. Every morning, one of the things I pray about before I go, when I'm praying with my wife, I say, Lord, bless the work of my hands. Because I've told you before, I don't even know what I'm doing. I know that sounds funny. Oh, boy. But I always say, Lord, bless the work of my hands. And he's so miraculous. He's so merciful. He's so gracious. The Lord will send a blessing on your barns and on everything you put your hand to. That's why, as a nation, Israel is so blessed. That little tiny nation right now, technologically, has got some of the forefront of research in software and computer science because they're blessed. Remember now, that doesn't mean that everyone is saved. Remember what I told you, the gifts and the calling of God are without repentance. A gift. But if you will walk in your blessing, then you will never need a miracle. That's what I'm trying to tell you. You won't need a miracle because you'll have everything you need. The Lord your God will bless you in the land he is giving you. The Lord will establish you as his holy people, as he promised you on oath. That means God swore this. That means he can't take it back. When God swears, he swears by himself because there is no greater. When he says, in blessing, I will bless thee. We're going to look at that in a little bit. Because this goes all the way back to Abraham. Because he was willing to do something contrary to human understanding. Because he was willing to give up his son. To give up something he loved. Take now thine only son, whom thou lovest. Because he was willing to do that. That put God in the position of being willing to do his part. Amen. Let me continue to read these blessings. The Lord will establish you as his holy people, as he promised you on oath. But again, here comes the condition. If you keep the commands of the Lord, your God, and walk in obedience to him, then all the peoples on earth will see that you are what called by my name. 2 Chronicles 14, right? 7:14. If my people. See, God's promises are conditional. The question is, we always have a choice. We either obey him or not. And when we don't obey him, then usually we end up needing a miracle. That's when we need a miracle. Because we've gone outside of God's laws. But if we obey him, we don't need a miracle. We're operating under his covenant. It's just going to happen. You won't be able to get rid of the blessing. It'll just keep coming, Sister Regina. Right. I want to repeat your question. So you're saying we don't see that kind of miracle where, at least not commonly, there are still many miracles that are happening. But God really wants us to get to the point where we actually work within his laws. And if we work within his laws, as the point I'm trying to make, we actually don't need a miracle. These things that God said were things that he had already set up. All they had to do was walk in it. The Bible says you will hear a voice in your ear saying, this is the way, walk in it. When we need a miracle is when actually we go outside of God's laws and then we need a miracle. You know, but if we were truly walking perfectly in God's will, then I don't believe we would necessarily be needing miracles. God would just fulfill the law. Because it says here, then all the peoples on earth will see that you are called by the name of the Lord, and they will fear you. The Lord will grant you abundant prosperity in the fruit of your womb, the young of your livestock, and the crops of your ground. In the land he swore to your ancestors to give you, the Lord will open the heavens. He will open the heavens, the storehouse of his bounty, to send rain on your land in season and to bless all the work of your hands. You will lend to many nations, but will borrow from none. The Lord will make you the head, not the tail. If you pay attention to the commands of the Lord your God that I give you this day and carefully follow them, you will always be at the top. Doesn't all of that sound great? Doesn't all of that sound wonderful? Man, these are some of the promises. The Bible said he has given us exceeding great and precious promises. The trouble is, most of us, we get to the place where we don't walk under the promise. We need the miracle. You will lend to many nations. You will borrow from them. The Lord will make you the head, not the tail. If you pay attention to the commands of the Lord your God that I give you this day and carefully follow them, you will always be at the top, never at the bottom. Do not turn aside from any of the commands I give you today, to the right or to the left, following other gods and serving them. Now, after he gives this long list of blessings and what God would do for them, he then gives them some warnings. This is what will happen to you, Israel, if you don't listen, if you go the other way, if you go off outside of the covenant. However, if you do not obey the Lord your God and do not carefully follow all the commands and decrees I am giving you today, all these curses will come on to you and overtake you. You will be cursed in the city. You will be and cursed in the country. You will be cursed when you come in and cursed when you go out. The Lord will cause you to be defeated before your enemies. You will come at them from one direction, but flee from them in seven. It's all opposite. This is what happens. These were the promises and the curses, and Israel was given a choice. All these curses will come on you. They will pursue you and overtake you until you are destroyed, because you did not obey the Lord your God and observe the commands and decrees he gave you. Actually, I cut it down because it's quite long. If you read the whole chapter, it's a very long thing. So there were curses for disobedience, blessings for obedience. And really what it came down to is a choice. God was telling them, listen, I'm not going to force you, but circumstance is going to force you. This is what will happen. You're coming out from under my law of protection. It's not that God is doing stuff to us. It's just that we're breaking a law, a spiritual law. As I've said so many times, if you jump off of a high enough cliff, what do you expect to happen? We all can see what's going to happen when we break the law of gravity, right? If you break the law of gravity, something usually else will break. Like if you drop a glass from a height, what's going to happen? It's going to smash. And it's just a law. God didn't decide, okay, I'm going to smash the glass. He created the law. So when we understand spiritual laws, we work within them and we get the spiritual benefit. We also use gravity to do great things, right? We used gravity in the 18th century to turn water wheels that drove mills. When they understood the law, they could use it to do great things. When we understand spiritual laws and the Father's will, we can do great things. We understand the spiritual law, then we choose the blessing. But if not, he gave them some choices. And there was a whole long list. Everything was going to be opposite. Now, most of us, I think we fall somewhere in between. That's why we struggle, because we don't perfectly obey God's plan. If we did, I really believe we would never need a miracle. We would never need a miracle. Now, hey, I need miracles, because my faith is not perfect. I am not perfect. And thanks be to God for his mercy and his grace. Now, I want to give you one more little thing on this. Under the law, disobedience brought what? A curse. Disobedience brought a curse. But under grace, you know who that curse went to? Jesus Christ. So even though we have not been fully obedient, the Bible said, he became a curse. He took these curses. These particular curses is what Jesus took on the cross so that we can get the blessing. He became a curse so that we could obtain the blessing. These curses of the law would fall straightly on us. But when Christ came, the Bible says he was obedient unto death, and he became a curse by putting him on a tree, on a cross, and he took all of these curses which had been pronounced under God's law, so that we, even now when we are not perfect, God's mercy and grace extends to us. Let's look at a New Testament example of this. The first time Jesus started preaching and he walked along the sea and was meeting Peter and the apostles, it's in Luke chapter 5, verse 1. And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and they were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship so that he could get some space. He asked Simon, hey, can I borrow your ship for a little bit? Let's push off from the crowd so I can have some space so that I can talk to them. And Simon agreed. Now, when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, after he had finished his message, He said to Simon, launch out into the deep. I want you to go out into the lake proper and let down your nets to bring in a draw, to get some fish. And Simon answering him said unto him, Master, we just came in. We've been fishing all night. All night have we been fishing and caught nothing. Taken nothing. But here's this important word. Nevertheless. Here's this important word. Nevertheless. When we can say nevertheless, at thy word I will let down the net. Nevertheless, he'd been fishing all night. These were experienced fishermen. They knew that the fish weren't biting. They knew that this was, you know, from a human understanding, that this was a loss, but something about Jesus, something about his words, something about his presence made Peter respond. Because of his obedience, his life was completely changed. And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net break. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so much that the ships almost began to sink. I'm telling you, when you're under the covering, when you're under the obedience, what most people think is a miracle is just going to be normal. It's just going to be normal for you. God is just going to take care of it. And as far as the finances of this church, that's how it's been. He's just taken care of it. Every time I think, well, not sure how we're going to handle this. He does it. And to many people, it's a miracle, but really what it is, it's just being under the covering. When they had done this, they now, this would not have happened if he had said, you know, Lord, I've been out all night. We're so bone tired. We were just going to go take a nap now. We just had finished washing the nets. We've done this. We really know what we're doing. But no, he said, nevertheless, the key to God's blessing and the Father's will is not trying to work it out yourself, but is accepting God's wisdom. He really realized at this point something miraculous had happened. When Simon, verse 8, saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of the fishes which they had taken. 3.5 years later, Jesus had to repeat this very same miracle with Peter. After the crucifixion and after his denial of Christ, Peter was probably pretty dejected, didn't know what to do, decided he'd go back to what he was used to doing. And Jesus had to walk by the lakeshore again and repeat the miracle. Sometimes God has to tell us twice. Sometimes we're not listening, or we feel we've gone too far or can't be rescued. He had to come back and tell him, listen, I can do what I did 3.5 years ago. God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we even can ask or think. But it's conditioned on our choice. That one word changed Peter's life. Nevertheless. Nevertheless. Because what that word encompasses is, hey, this is what I think. But listen, I'm going to put what you think above what I think. Depart from me, for I'm a sinful man, O Lord. For he was astonished. I tell you what, God can astonish us. God can astonish us. I'm laughing because he astonished me last night. I went home and my wife, there were two letters. One was from the IRS and one was from somebody else. And it astonished me. Both letters astonished me because, you know, when you get a letter from the IRS, you always think it's going to be something negative. But it wasn't. It was just them giving me some instructions. And the other one kind of astonished me too, because it was a letter from someone sending a donation to this church. As out of the blue. Out of the blue. Amen. Amen. God always does exceeding abundantly. It wasn't a big donation, but it was just the fact that they did it is what I'm saying. Amen. He will astonish you. Sometimes he astonishes me because he does things so beyond, and when he does it, I just treat it as a hug. It's giving me a hug. He's letting me know, you're not alone. I'm still there. I've got this. Amen. You see, it is the Father's will ultimately to give us the kingdom. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. We don't have no clue what it is God has got prepared. He said, "Eye hath not seen, nor ear heard. It is only seen or understood through faith. It's only revealed through the Spirit." And even then, most of us don't really see it, or we're so blinded with the present, just surviving daily living, that we don't grasp what God has promised and what it is we are potentially giving up. They used to have some of those game shows, you know, where you had to choose, and behind this curtain was like an old moldy sausage, and behind this curtain was a 2019 late model car. Most of us are choosing the moldy sausage and don't even know it, because we haven't understood and perceived that the Bible says that eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard, what God has got prepared for those who love him. There's no mansion on earth. There's no pile of gold. There's no riches that can compare. I want to inspire you today, don't give up. Don't let Satan blind you with present things that are going to be totally worthless. Totally worthless. Hallelujah. He says, "For fear not, little flock, for it's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." This is where the scripture goes on. "For where your treasure is, there will be your heart." If you understand what the treasure God has got, the Bible says, "What will a man give in exchange for his soul?" Because your soul is eternal. Whatever is down here is temporary. "Blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find watching. Verily I say unto you that he shall gird himself and make them to sit down to meat and will come forth and serve them." Do you understand what that's saying? It's God's pleasure to serve you. That's what he's saying. It's God's pleasure to serve. Don't you serve your children? It's God's pleasure. He wants to come into your life in such a powerful way that you have never understood or even seen. But most of the time we won't let him. Because we know, like Peter, we've been fishing all night and that didn't work. So why are you telling us to go do the exact same thing? Nevertheless, obedience will get the Father's blessing. Amen. Let's go back a little bit. Because as I said, when Moses gave all of these things, he was giving them a choice. This is what you can get as a nation, Israel. And so we have to choose rightly to be blessed. Genesis 22:15. "And the angel of the Lord called unto Abram out of heaven the second time and said, by myself." Verse 16 is where it all begins and where it all came from. This is what God said. "By myself have I sworn, saith the Lord. For because thou hast done this thing and hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, that in blessing I will bless thee. And in multiplying, I will multiply thy seed as the stars of heaven and as the sand which is upon the seashore. And thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies." This is where the blessing in Deuteronomy 28 started from, because of one man's obedience to something that was so bizarre and so weird and so completely out of left field. "Take your son, go to this mountain and sacrifice him." That sounds so terrible. Cannot be. That can't be God. But Abraham knew the voice of God. And he believed in the resurrection. He believed that even though he were dead, yet shall he live. That's what Martha said. "Because you are the resurrection and the life. That in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thee. Thy seed as the stars of heaven and as the sand which is upon the seashore. And thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. And thy seed shall, and in thy seed shall all the nations of earth be blessed." Why? Why all of this? "Because thou hast obeyed my voice." Obedience is better than sacrifice. Saul thought, "Well, I'm sacrificing, I'm doing this, I'm doing all this, all these things." No, that's not what God actually asked you to do. Right? You can't give God and say, "Well, I'm doing this, you must like this." No, that's not what God wants you to do. You have to do what God actually asked you to do. See, and the thing about the Father's will, when we're small, we have no understanding why. Why? We want to ask that question. Why do I have to do this? Isn't that what teenagers and why do I have to do this? They want, you know what that question why is saying? I want to make the judgment myself. That's why we ask why, is because we want to make the judgment ourselves. But what I'm trying to tell you is we don't have to have understanding to obey. When Jesus washed his disciples' feet, they did not understand why. But they obeyed. They let him. John 13:5. "After that, he poureth water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. Then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter saith unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? Jesus answered and said unto him, What I do thou knowest not. Many times what God is doing in our lives, we don't know. It makes no sense, right, Sister Johnny? This week started a certain way for you and ended a completely different way, didn't it? It makes no sense. Didn't make any sense. Amen. Amen. The thing is, are we going to allow him to wash our feet? Are we going to? It makes no sense what is happening in our life, does it? A lot of times it makes no sense. Lord, why is this happening? And the reason why we ask that question is because we want to pronounce judgment on it. It's what I call the tree knowledge. See, they gain the knowledge of good and evil. We want to use the tree knowledge to put our judgment on what God has decided. Why do you want to wash my feet? That makes no sense. You're the creator. Why are you washing my feet? You can't wash my feet because I, Peter, don't think you ought to. Don't we tell God, don't we talk to God and tell him what he is to do and what he's not to do? God, you can't do that. That doesn't make sense to me. We do. We talk to God. We don't even know it. Why are you doing this, God? Peter said, Thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. What I'm trying to say, obedience does not need to come with understanding. If you trust who the messenger is. My dad used to tell me a story when he was working on construction sites. He used to, when he was younger, work on construction sites. And they were making this big, tall building. And something fell from off the top of the roof, a big piece of concrete. And the shout was, move from under. So instead of moving, the guy was going to go, why? By the time he wanted to ask why, it's going to be too late. You just need to obey. You don't have to understand. Right? Because by the time you get the explanation, my kids, I think on my 53rd birthday, they gave me a t-shirt, and it says, they had some words written on it, and it says, the words written on it says, because I said so. They gave me the t-shirt, and they said, because I said so. See, when you're small, you want to question everything. Why? Why is the sky blue, Daddy? But you don't have to understand to obey. You just have to obey. Peter didn't understand. The disciples did not understand. And he said, no, you can't wash my feet, because he was using his judgment over Christ. But when God told him, when Jesus told him, listen, if I don't do this, you're going to have no part with me. Simon Peter said unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Sometimes all we have to do is obey. We don't have to understand, just obey. And we can do that without questioning if we trust the source. If we trust the source. If you trust who is giving you the command, you don't need to understand. They know what they're doing. I just better do it. I just have to do it. Now that's hard. Now if you don't trust the source, you're going to start, wonder why they're telling me to do that. And we start questioning. And we miss the opportunity for the blessing. Elijah had a servant, Elisha. And Elisha wanted to get the blessing. And Elijah told him, listen, you will get the blessing if you see me when I'm caught up. So after he was told that, guess what Elisha did? He stuck to Elijah like glue. Elijah kind of got tired of him, said, why don't you stay? He said, no, I'm not staying. I'm not staying. Everywhere he went, he followed him. Why? He didn't understand what was happening, But he understood that if he saw Elijah go up, he was going to get the blessing. Many things that happen in our life that God does will not make sense. Will not make sense. But we don't have to understand it if we trust God. This is where faith comes in. And the scripture we quote all the time, lean not to our own understanding. Because we cannot work it out, and it will not make sense. It is the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom, but that will only come through obedience. I've come to the conclusion that there are some things God can't tell us. You know, when I was small and my dad used to tell me he was going to work to make money, and I was four, in my mind, I pictured in my little four-year-old brain, he was going there and he was making money. He was somehow printing it or making it. When he said he's going to work to make money, I had no understanding. I just thought that's what he did. He actually made money. Somehow it was being made. I don't know how, from a tree or whatever. My little four-year-old brain couldn't quite have got that. But I didn't have to understand it. All I had to do was enjoy the benefits of it. The fact that I had clothes, that I had food, right? I didn't have to understand it. We try and work out God's mind for him. And that won't work. Amen. So how do we obtain the blessing? Well, we have to seek after it by obedience. Seek and you shall find. That's the Father's will. He tells us that we should seek. And I say unto you, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Do we hunger and thirst after righteousness? Are you tired of this world? Or is there still a lot of things that are holding you here that you want? Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. See, Jesus needs to be our source and our sustainer. If we hunger and thirst after righteousness, as I've said many times, I don't have too many ambitions. Let's see what I can say and what I can't say. I don't have too many ambitions, you know, whether in the secular or even in the spiritual. At the district conferences, they have votes and things, and the presbyter, the secretary for the district, called me some months ago and said, "Hey, we would like you to be the chairman of the tabulator committee." And I said, "I don't want to be that." What it is when they vote, you count all the votes and you certify the votes for the. And I've been on the committee before, and I really like just being at the back in the corner, just doing my thing. And I really wanted to tell him no. I really did want to tell him no. I said, "Well, you know, do you have anyone else?" He said, "Well, Brother Booker said, you know, recommended you." And so I felt bad about refusing, so I went ahead and. But I have no ambition. I don't want to be anything. The only thing I want to be is a saint. That's my only ambition. At work, I have no ambition as far as. That sounds like a bad thing to say. But my only ambition, I'm trying to put my treasure where my mouth is. Right? What I'm telling you, I need to put that into practice. My only ambition should be for God and his service. Amen. I'm learning now that none of this stuff is going to matter. None of this is going to matter. You can't take it with you. Amen. There's coming a day when we're all going to have to give an account. What have you done with what you have been given? What are you going to answer? Amen. Jesus in John 6:35 said, "I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst." And then, of course, here's that verse that, you know, when I was much younger and was much more full of desirous of these things of the world, you've heard that story in the Bible. It's still over there. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Amen. True happiness is not really in what material things. It's really a state of your heart. True happiness is a state of your heart. Paul said, I have learned to be content. And that comes with experience. It comes with going through some things and learning to value what is really valuable and realizing what's not so valuable. The things that years ago would get you so upset and you look into, man, what, did I get so worked up about that? You see, the Father's will is that we are blessed, that we are at peace, that we understand how much He loves us. But we always have a choice, blessing and curse. In the ephod, in the little velvet cup that the high priest wore, were two stones. And on each of them, the Urim and the Thummim, it meant blessings and curses. And that's how they would inquire of the Lord. Today, I'm encouraging you, let us put God first. Because this is the Father's will. That nothing comes before Him. Amen. Proverbs 24. How do we get into that? Well, humility. By humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life. I heard sometime this week that someone is in New Berlin. One that mega whatever it is. $750 million. Now, I think they're going to be in pretty much fear for their life now. I mean, that's why they, I don't know if they've come forward yet, because can you imagine what's going to happen to their life? Everybody and his brother will be their relative. They'll have to move, they'll have to hide, they'll have to change their name. You know, yes, it brings some things, but it also brings a whole bag of trouble. A whole bag of trouble. If we want blessing from the Father, we have to do it through humility. By humility and the fear, the reverence of the Lord are riches and honor and life. And of course, Jesus said in Luke 14:11, for everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. Now, what's the opposite of humility? Pride. Here's some words. Arrogance, self-importance, conceit, haughtiness, superiority, pretension, pretending we're better than someone else. Now, I put all of that there is because pride is concerned with who is right. Humility is concerned with what is right. What is right? Pride is all about me. That's what doomed Saul. Honor me before the people. Okay, so I messed up, but don't let it get out there. Let's cover this up. So what I'm saying is for the blessing of God, for the Father's will, we always have to approach it with humility. We can't demand it. It's not that way. It's when we come to Him as a little child. Like my little granddaughter there, Abby, boy, she's just melting my heart. She's just running up to me, and I cannot refuse to pick her up. Imagine if we were that way with God, just as a little child. Amen. I'm coming to that. So the Father's will and the road to blessing is, first of all, we must give up control. James chapter 14, 13. Go now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. That's why I don't make too detailed long-range plans, because Bible tells us we're always to condition it by saying, if the Lord says the same. If the Lord says the same. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. You know not what shall be on the morrow. You know, each of us could go home tonight and get some devastating call that could completely change the direction of our lives. That's why we have to yield each day into God's hand. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. For that he ought to say, if the Lord will. Lord, nevertheless. That's what Jesus said. Not my will, but thy will be done. Do you realize it's the same thing what Peter said when he was in the boat? I've been fishing all night. We caught nothing. The fish aren't biting. But nevertheless, when you have gotten to the point where you can honestly tell God, nevertheless, I know what my flesh is feeling. I know which direction I want to go. I know what I think about the matter. But listen, you're my Father. Nevertheless. Verse 15, for that he ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. Because we don't know. We don't know what will happen tomorrow. Luke 12, 25. And which of you, with taking thought, can add to his stature one cubit? If he then be not able to do that thing which is least, why take ye thought for the rest? As I said before, from the age of 0 to 2 or 3, we couldn't even feed ourselves. Somebody stuck a bottle or gave us milk, diapered us, changed us, cleaned us, and yet here we are today. And we had no thought about that. Can you remember who took care of you at 6 months? Maybe your mother, father. But here you are. You weren't worried about it at that time. All you were thinking about is, I'm hungry, I'm tired, or someone do something. And someone did something. That was faith. We didn't think about it. So some of the things that God does or allows is to make us humble, to get us to that point. Deuteronomy 8:3, and he humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger. Some of the things that we go, circumstance, remember, is what I said, how God gets our attention. And suffered thee to hunger and fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee to know that man doth not live by bread. God has never gotten me to the place yet where I can feel just comfortable, where I can look in the bank and say, okay, I've got a stash, I've got 6 months' supply, everything is good, I'm safe. He's just not let me get to that place. Because I think he knows that I would start to depend on the bank account. I would depend on my job. I'd start to depend on if I'm smart enough. He doesn't want us to depend on ourselves. He wants us to depend upon him. Every time I think I'm going to get to where I can just cruise, he doesn't let me do that. He doesn't let me do that. He pulls the rug because he knows how I am. Now, for you, he may be different. He knows how I am. He wants me to depend on him. And so that I have to depend on him. The Bible said he took him through the desert, took him through where there was no food. You know why? To display his glory. I can keep 3 million people alive in the desert for 40 years. Think about that. That's the longest miracle recorded in the Bible. 40 years food fell from heaven. 40 years water came out of rock that actually literally followed them. God displayed such power. And yet every time he asked them to do something, they go, why? Why? Why should we do that, Lord? Or we can't do that. And they weren't thinking that 3 million of them lived in a desert for 40 years. The Bible says their clothes did not wear out. Their shoes did not wear out. Imagine every time you went into your closet, it was like it just been dry cleaned. Brand new, not even a scratch. Every time you wake. The Bible said he did such stupendous miracles for them. And yet they would say, why? And no wonder he got wore out with their unbelief. And so sometimes trials come, circumstances come to humble us so that we will acknowledge him. I know that I can't do it. I know that I'm personally at my limit. I'm at my limit. I can't do any more. You know, the sufficiency has to come from him. It has to come from him. And churches that stay at one size because the leadership tries to do everything. And of course, it will only grow as big as you can do. But I know I can't do everything. I know that already. So it has to come from him. Amen. We're going to be closing here. Let me go on. Humility is where we also find God's favor and his will and his blessing. James 4:6, but he giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto humble. This is God's will. If my people, here it is, that are called by my name shall, here's a condition. Condition for blessing. Humble yourself. Okay, how do we humble ourselves? In a practical sense, how do we humble ourselves? How did Jesus humble himself? Obedience. But in a practical sense, how did Jesus humble, show humility? Service. He went and washed his disciples' feet. How can we humble ourselves? Service. Okay, so now how are you humbling yourselves? Don't answer. Think about it. What service are you doing for God? Because Jesus humbled himself in service. He took a basin. The Creator took a basin and was washing his creation's feet. He said, I'm doing this as an example. So humility can come through service to others. The question is, how are we humbling ourselves? How are we showing that humility? If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, will forgive their sin, and will heal their land. Amen. If you could stand with me. We're coming to the close of this series on the Father's will. The Father's will. And I put this in terms of thinking about my own father and what I would want to do from an earthly point of view to please him and to make him proud of me. Jesus made this point in Matthew 18:3. Verily, verily, or verily I say unto you, except ye be converted, that means changed, and become as little children, ye shall not enter the kingdom of heaven. Do you know that is as strong as John 3:3 and John 3:5, where it says he must be born again? This is as strong. It says, unless we become like little children, that means trusting, childlike in our attitude, faith, we can't enter the kingdom of heaven. Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves. God wants us to understand his will. And as we close this month, I hope that you will meditate. I hope you will go back over some of the lessons on how the devil can manipulate us. We talked about fear. We talked about our emotions. We talked about the transformed mind. And really, I'm teaching to myself. I sometimes go and listen to myself and I go, wow, really, that's true. That's great. I need to do that some more. Amen. God is calling us to a place. God wants us to get to a place in him where we're just under the blessing. Amen. I'll close with what I started with, which was Deuteronomy 28. It says, I will bless thee in your going out and in your coming in. Your enemies will come at you one way and they'll be scattered seven ways. And as he told Abraham, in blessing I will bless thee, in multiplying. God could not say anymore. It says he swore by himself, because thou hast obeyed my voice. Because thou hast obeyed my voice. In blessing, I will bless thee. I tell you, there is so much we're missing out on of God's favor and of his grace, because we only obey partially. We don't obey fully. And that's why sometimes when Israel ran from the enemy, there was always a reason. There was always some unfaithfulness or slight deviance from what God wanted. But I want to fully obey. I want to be found fully in his will. As we close this service this morning, I encourage you to try and find God's will. Because there is no greater thing than being in God's will. Hallelujah. If you could bow your hearts with me. Father, we thank you this morning for your love and for your grace. God, we ask right now, Lord, that this word will find good soil, that it will minister to us. Lord God, that we will get to the place, Lord, to put you truly first in every aspect of our lives. Oh God, that we will seek your will. Oh God, that you will be a covering. Lord, that you will direct our path. Father, we thank you today for all that you're doing in our lives, and we claim victory over the enemy and his devices, that he shall not have dominion, that he shall not have the last word. Father, we thank you and we exalt your name today, and we give you the praise and the glory in Jesus' name. Give God a praise offering. Hallelujah.